Revelation 12 and Ephesians 6. Okay, Revelation 12, verse 9 and 10. This Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to go through the work of Satan and basically how he controls people. And next Sunday is going to have some... Next Sunday is definitely going to be what's called strange doctrine, weird stuff. But yet, I'm going to show you in the Bible what's going on. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth half the world. That's it, every bit of them, the whole world. Now, we know this is tribulation, but it deceiveth the whole world. How is he able to do that? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Okay, so his first step is verse 9, deceiving people. And if that don't work, then accusing people. So the first part is he becomes your friend. The second part, he becomes your outward enemy. Both times he's your enemy, but the first time it appears as a friend, the second time as clearly an enemy. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look at there. But most of our arguments are with flesh and blood. But we need to know the source of it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. What's that? Rulers of the darkness. The dark forces be with you. That's getting into underground bases. It gets into weird stuff going on. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's a common saying. Friends in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd cover us in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help us to see the enemy, the second most talked about character in this Bible. Help us to expose the enemy. Help us to reveal how he blinds people's minds. Help me, Lord, I pray that people can see, have their eyes opened, and see that we all are trying to be manipulated by the world system, by evil people, friends in high places. Help us to understand these things and help us to stand against the wiles of the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you would, look in Isaiah 45. We're going to run several places. If you ask the average person if you believe in a literal devil, most people would say no. And if you bring up the subject of Satan, most people would think, the guy with the two horns and all this stuff, and he walks around with an evil voice, and he'll come up to you and say, you need to do this, and that's kind of what they think. But they do not understand at all how Satan works. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. The second most popular character in this Bible is the devil. He's talked about more than anybody outside of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to me how people don't understand how he works. He is what you call the ultimate control freak. Trying to control people. Trying to get everybody to be a blind Audubon. You know, he's a master at getting people to realize that they think they're thinking on their own, but yet he's controlling their mind. Blindness. A lot of young people think, well, I'm going to listen to this music, I'm going to do my thing, I'm in my own man. They are nothing but pawns of the devil. And they don't even realize how ignorant they are as far as these things go. Is there a little literal devil? Well, if you believed his Bible, you'd have to say yes. What are his methods? The first one is to deceive. How does he deceive? He deceives the world by being a counterfeit of God. If Satan walked up to you, he'd look like a 33-year-old man. He would look very religious, very kind, very sweet, like a Mr. Rogers. And he'd tell you a lot of nice things, a lot of truthful things. And then he'd slip in the half-truths as he goes in there. He does it through counterfeiting. If that doesn't work, he appears as your friend, being a friend coming alongside you as an alliance. If that don't work, then he's going to come right out and be your antagonist. And he does that by accusations, and he's a master of dividing to conquer. That's what he always does. He divides us to conquer. You know, it's amazing to me, Christians seem to cut their own throats. They fight amongst each other all the time, but they don't realize who they're really fighting against. They're fighting its wrong person. Okay, why would God allow something like this? Isaiah 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Yet they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create. Am I reading that right? Who creates that? I, the Lord, do all these things. You put darkness and evil together, and you got devil. Who's involved in these things? God is. Why would he do something like that? Well, you see, if we had no choice, then we'd be nothing but Autobahns. And you see, if people know they're being controlled, or if they know that somebody is trying to control them, that's a quick way of having rebellion. Who of us likes to be controlled by somebody else? You know, we rebel at that thought. So the trick in learning to control somebody is to do it without their knowledge. Now, the masterful trick is to control them, getting them to think they're living their own lives the way they want, but yet they're being controlled. And that's what the devil is a master at. And I'll give you a couple thoughts about this. Let's go back to see the beginning of Lucifer, Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Just give you a little background about the Lucifer. Isaiah 14:12. This is the only verse in the Bible that uses the word Lucifer. This is the only time the word Lucifer is found in the Bible. And amazingly, if you get a New American Standard, NIV, or any of the new Bibles, they take Lucifer out. They put Morning Star in its place. What's that like? That's like taking the devil's name out and putting Jesus Christ's name in. Jesus Christ is a bright and morning star. Isaiah 14:12, he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now there's where you want to get. Get that. Don't forget that. Satan, Lucifer said, I am going to be like God. Perfect counterfeit. A lot of churches this morning, Christian churches, if you walk in there, you'd see a bunch of people who are brain dead, who are worshiping the devil and don't even realize they are. Carrying around devil Bibles. They're not carrying around Anton LaVey's Bible, you know, the satanic Bible. They're carrying around a counterfeit of the real Bible. And who's the author of those things? The author of confusion is Satan. This word Lucifer. Lucifer, you have lucent, is giving off light. You have lucerne, a lamp. You have the word lucid, something's transparent and it's bright. There's a company called Lucite, and they have a trademark of transparency. There's another company called Lucent Technologies that has a symbol of a round fiery O. That's a demonic symbol. The devil works through symbols. As Mobil Oil Company has a round O in there. What is that for? I'm just going to try to tickle your brain on some of this stuff, and I'm going to show you that the devil all over the place is counterfeiting things of God. Lucrative. Filthy lucre. That's how the devil gets people to worship him, is he promises them filthy lucre. I mean, tell you, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the devil. In 2 Samuel chapter 24 and 1 Chronicles 21, if you look at those two places, you'll see how close God and the devil works. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1, and it says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." In 2 Samuel it says, "And the Lord provoked David to number Israel." Now isn't that strange? Contradiction, or is it showing it that they work close in hand? Why would God do something like that? He wants to see how sincere we are. He's checking us out to see if we're willing to weigh every word. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." What is this thing called Lucifer? If you would, go to Ezekiel 28. Okay, when you go through Ezekiel, Ezekiel's got some really weird doctrines in here. Strange stuff. When you go through Ezekiel 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, there are seven chapters in here that focus more so on the devil and his crowd. Seven chapters in a row. And Ezekiel 28, any Bible teacher will show you that this is the beginning of Satan, known as Lucifer. Ezekiel 28, verse 12, he says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." When you say it's a king, yeah, it is a king, but it's an unusual king. "And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Whoever this guy is, he was in the garden of Eden. Now, if you want to figure it out, there's only three people in the garden of Eden. You have the serpent. You've got Adam and Eve. That's your three in the garden of Eden. Now, if you read down through here, you're going to have to eliminate, obviously, Eve. But verse 14, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." That eliminates Adam. He's a cherub. What's a cherub? If you would, look at Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 14. Now, actually, this part, actually, I should be taking an hour or two just on this, so I'm just giving you a gloss over. What's a cherub? Lucifer, when he was originally created, he was a cherub. There were originally five. Four are left. Four of them are still in heaven today. And those four in heaven are disclosed in Revelation chapter 4, verse 7. So if you want to compare these two verses, Revelation 4, 7, with Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 14, or if you want to just stay in Ezekiel 10, 14, I'm going to read Revelation 4, 7. It says, "And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." Now these four beasts in heaven, cherubims, seraphims, whatever you want to call them, they say, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." They give praise and glory to God. Satan was the anointed cherub. He was the one over God's throne, as a choir leader singing with the angels to God. But in Ezekiel 10:14, he had the same four cherubs, but they have a slight switch in here. Ezekiel 10:14. It says, everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. The fourth, the face of an eagle. Now you have eagle, man, lion, and in Revelation says calf. In Ezekiel it says cherub. You ever hear the saying that Satan is called split foot? Do you ever wonder why you have sacred cows? In Exodus chapter 32, from the Egyptian nation, they worshipped a holy cow, the golden calf. Genesis chapter 3, Satan was cursed above all cattle. You have a pope who issues a papal bull. Why are they so fascinated with a cow? You have trouble out west where cattle are often found with their blood sucked out of them. All bodily fluid sucked out completely. And they come across this cattle. Ranchers having a problem with it. They come across this cattle and it looks like a raisin. Somebody's interested in getting blood from a cow. Why do the people say holy cow? You see, the devil gets praise and worship when people worship a cow. In India, you know, people starving to death, but they got Big Macs walking all over the place. They won't eat that cow. Why? Because they think it's grandma from the past. You see, the thing is, the devil gets worship when people get infatuated with these cattle. And there's something to these things. Now, the Lucifer, he was changed. His form was changed. Looks like on the second day of creation, if you would, look in Job 41. Now, we've gone through this before time and time again. You know, I've done it several times here. Job 41 has a strange being called Leviathan. If you write to all the Christian colleges in America, you won't find 1% of them that knows who Leviathan is. Right, Moody Bible Institute, Cedarville College, none of them, they don't know who Leviathan is. But if you ask some of the rockers, they know who Leviathan is. Why is it they know who it is, but the Christians don't know who Leviathan is? Well, if you don't know who Leviathan is, you run to Isaiah 27:1, and it says, the Lord with his strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon, the red dragon that's in the sea. Hence our fairy tales have a knight in shining armor who rescues the fair maiden as he takes his sword and he fights the fiery dragon. Is that just myth? Is that just fairy tales? Or is that somebody trying to copy our Bible? In China, they have an infatuation with a dragon. And dragons are often portrayed as reptiles, dinosaurs. And if you look in the cherubs in Revelation chapter 4, they have a representative of man in there, of the flying animals. You have a representative of the domesticated animals. And you got a representative of the wild animals, but nothing's represented of the reptilians. And Satan is a serpent. And do you think he appeared to Eve as a snake? Do you think that would work? If a snake came up to you and I and started talking to you, don't you know you would be doing something a little different? How does Satan appear? Does he appear in his natural state? No, he couldn't do that because that would expose him. If a big red dragon come to your door, you'd pass out. So would I. And Job chapter 41 says that if you would see him, verse 10, none is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before him? You'd be scared to death if you saw him. This Leviathan, Job 41, in verse 34, is called a king. And you write to Christian colleges, and they think it's a hippopotamus, and it might be a whale, it might be a drag, or a firefly. A bunch of knuckleheads. They don't believe this Bible. You see, who is this Leviathan? Why would God do something like this? Well, God does this because he wants to check our sincerity out. God does this because if he gives us a choice between good and evil, he can demonstrate his love. Now, isn't that quite a way to demonstrate your love? How do you demonstrate love? Do you love somebody who loves you? That's not a demonstration of love. That's just natural. How about loving somebody that hates you? That's love in demonstration. Jesus Christ died on Calvary for his enemies. He didn't die for his friends. That's God's love. God does this to manifest his love towards man. But he does it to check us out, to see how sincere we are. How does Satan appear to people? Well, if you would, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You think if a red dragon walked into a Christian church this morning, he can get everybody to worship him? No, but if he walks up like Benny Hinn and tells a bunch of lies, they'll believe him. Second Corinthians, how does Satan appear to people? How did Satan appear to Eve? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan cannot create something out of nothing, but he can change a molecular structure of something and it transform into something else. If the devil, and be honest with you, there's not any way Satan would waste time with a peon like me to show up around here. He can only be in one place at one time, even though he can move fast. And he spends most of his time, I dare say, in a Vatican, UN, gets worship there, travels around as he gets people to worship him at midnight and certain holidays that they have. Underground traveling through all their underground bases. I would dare say he ain't going to waste time with me, but if he showed up, ladies, he'd be the most handsome man you ever thought. An angel of light. All angels in the Bible are men. Isn't it funny how people always want to talk about the light? I saw the light. You have a group called the Illuminati. They've been illumined. They have light that nobody else has. And who are they? They're the control freaks trying to run this world through Satan. How does Satan do this? Look in 2 Corinthians. You're still there in 11. Look how he did this with Eve, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan is going to use subtle things. He's going to use subtle things to get people's worship. He's going to be very tricky about things. He's going to counterfeit things of God and is going to work through symbols. You ever notice symbols in certain places in this world? America's a Christian nation, but even though America's a Christian nation, you got pagan symbols everywhere. You ever see the Washington Monument? You know what that symbol's for? It's a pagan symbol. You ever see gargoyles all around? That's pagan gods. A lot of your companies are named after pagan gods, and I'm going to get into that more detailed next week. But as far as this stuff, the pagan gods are a lot of times right in front of our face, and they're getting more and more obvious about these things now. Satan is the angel of light, so he's going to say, you got to see the tunnel of light. People say, well, I had a near-death experience and I saw the tunnel of light. Better be careful. The devil counterfeits everything of God. I know a man that was electrocuted. And he said, I saw the tunnel. I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. He said, I had peace come over me. He said, just something in my spirit said, no. And he survived the experience and he got saved about 3 years later. In his case, that tunnel of light, the light at the end of the tunnel, was hell. And I'm not saying that's true in all cases, but I'm saying that the devil can counterfeit everything of God. And he's more subtle than the beast of the field. And he uses symbols and subliminal messages. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to show you how he's doing that right now in America. He uses Hollywood. People watch Hollywood and they don't realize that their brain is being manipulated with by evil people. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blinded minds. Somebody's messing with their brain. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've talked to people and brought up certain issues. Maybe I expose a contradiction in their belief system, or maybe I tell them about Jesus Christ, and a conviction to come over their face, and you'll see their eyes. If you watch their eyes real close, sometimes they'll glass over. No drugs, no booze, their eyes glass right over. And they become in a passive state. Mormon boys, watch Mormon boys, they'll be like this. You get talking to Mormon boys about the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to expose some of the things, their eyes will glass over and they'll get real passive. That's somebody's got their mind blinded. There's so much symbolism going on in the Mormon church that is a satanic organization. They've got the goat head of Mendes, the inverted star, right on their Mormon temple. They don't see it. They've been blinded. Their mind's been blinded. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, it says there's another Jesus. Isn't that strange? Another Jesus? Another spirit? Another gospel? The devil counterfeits things of God. God is God. And then devil is a god of this world. God has a son, Jesus Christ. The devil has a son called the son of perdition. The son of perdition was named Judas. Judah is a counterfeit of the tribe of Judah. Can you see how close they are? The devil has devils or demons. Sometimes people call them demons. God has angels. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, but the devil is an angel of light. Jesus Christ said, "The peace I give you is not as the world giveth, give I unto you." So there's a counterfeit peace. God has a city for his people, Jerusalem. The devil's got a city for his people, the Vatican City. He counterfeits everything of God. Jesus Christ had a 3.5-year ministry. When Satan indwells the Antichrist, he's going to have a 3.5-year ministry. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's got a second coming. Satan's got a second coming. Judas is coming back out of hell. He counterfeits things of God, and people don't see these things. Jesus Christ has got a perfect Bible. The devil's got a counterfeit. The NIV, New American Standard, any Bible from Alexandria, the New King James. The New King Jimmy Bible, if you flip open the front cover of it and go to the title page, it's got a symbol right there, 666. Why would they put that in a Bible? Thompson Nelson and publishers don't even realize they're being used by Satan. I mean, you flip right to that title page, it's got three sixes curled right around. Right in there, in a Bible. What are they doing? They're doing it through advertisement. Hollywood's telling us about Rosemary's Baby. Hollywood has Star Wars. It has a full human, and then it's got a little Ewok thing in there. Then it's got a man and a machine. Are they just playing with our minds? Are they just trying to entertain people? Are they trying to educate people? I know what they're doing. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. How do they do this? They're doing it through advertisement is what they're doing. Ephesians 4, verse 17. The trick is, how do you control people without them knowing it? Well, you got to mess with their brains is what you got to do. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Notice this. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in a vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What's greed associated with? There's only one Bible in English that says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Somebody loves money, so the devil's going to use people's love for money to promote uncleanness. Brother Jeff, would you go ahead and start passing those pictures out? Now, we're going to show you a subtle thing. It's a Xerox copy. It's only for the adults. If you want to show them to your kids, it's your business. But I'm going to show you how they're using unclean things. They're doing it by advertisement. The word advertise is found in Numbers chapter 24, verse 14. And in Numbers 24, verse 4, it mentions that a man is in a trance. In the Bible, advertise is associated with a trance. Now, if you look at this picture, again, it's just a Xerox copy, and this is an example. This is a drawing. This is a painting that a man painted, and much of your advertisements are not pictures. They're paintings. Now, as you view this painting, you'll see on the four flowers. The flower on the left appears to be like a male flower that is trying to hug the female flower on the right. And then if you go to the third flower over, again, looks like it's the male flower, dominating flower, going to the far one on its, the far one over. And it's that flower, the female flower, seems to be giving it a cold shoulder. That's kind of the portrait of the picture. But do you happen to see a word in that picture? Does anybody see a word in that picture? A three-letter word. If you see a three-letter word in that picture, raise your hand. Got some of you see it. Keep looking at that picture. Look at the white in the picture. Look at the background in that picture. Do you see at the bottom? Look between the first flower and the second flower on the lower half. You'll see a white S. Do you see that?
Yep.
Now do you see it? Do you see the E? Now that's all you can see, right?
Yeah.
Your subconscious has now become conscious. And this is how they manipulate people's brains. You see, what happens in your mind is when your mind automatically sees that word, your mind blanks it out and shuns it. Your subconscious mind will shun that. But yet, in the buying structure, they believe that when you go into the store, your subconscious will take over and buy the product that will get you more of what they're trying to get you to get. The Pepsi company had a can that came out that had little squiggly lines on it. And they would stack them in a certain fashion in the store. And when you look at them cans, you'd see the SE in the top can, and then you'd see the followed X in the bottom can. You say, are they all doing it? They've been doing this since 1950. Brother Bill Campbell was telling me that he was studying a little bit on marketing. He said they started teaching him this stuff then. He said, that's wicked. And that's right, it is wicked. Have you ever read the book Atlas Shrugged? Atlas Shrugged is the insider's Bible. Atlas Shrugged was written by a woman named Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand was a mistress to Philippe Rothschild, Rothschild of the Bilderbergers, the international bankers. And she wrote this over 1,000-page book that said in that book their plans on how to conquer the world. It's right in that book, written in 1957. In one phrase in that book, it says, she wrote, the coat of arms of our day are to be found on billboards and in the ads of popular magazine, industrial trademarks. And you're going to find that people in high, wealthy corporations, major corporations, are demonic-type people who are going to promote their belief system through the sales of their products. Now, Gil Riplinger has an 8-page article. I've got it with me. I'm going to copy some of it today. If you want to research a little bit further, I'll give you some more research on this so you can start researching and see what they're actually doing. Now, this, I just gave you a little subtle thing here, very small thing. I can show you pictures where it's outright perverted symbols, what they're trying to get into your and my head. I despise it when somebody tries to make my head filthy. I'm trying to live a holy life, and you got everywhere you go, these advertisers and these stores are promoting perversion. Magazines, newspapers. The newspapers will sometimes embed it where the page is so thin you can see right through, and they've got embedded stuff right in there. And the Bible warns about these things. The Bible tells us about them. It says that Satan beguiled Eve. What did he do to Eve to get her to partake of the fruit? Beguilement. Now, he's done this for years. He'll use death, another example. The young kids don't realize that this music that they're being played to in the subliminal beds, they're throwing in death. Hang yourself. Kill yourself. Hang yourself. It's right in there. Michael Jackson's one song, he promoted in his song a dance of sodomy. Right in the song. And the people that sang that song didn't even see it, didn't even notice it. But he's promoting sodomy right through the song and everything. And see, what's this say to us? You and I better watch what we look at and be very cautious what we look at. Here's our Bible answer. Look in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The word transformed or transforming is only found two places in the Bible. We read one about Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. The only other occurrence in the Bible is in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, check it out, watch out for the counterfeits. You got to prove it. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you need to study it further, and I dare say you should, but I tell you, there's some perverted stuff going on there. You can type on the internet, subliminal advertisement, all sorts of websites. They show you what they're doing. They're not hiding it. I mean, it's all, what corporations? Basically all of them. All across this country, worldwide, is what they're doing. They're trying to mess with your brain. This present evil world, Galatians 1:4. That's the world we're living in. Trying to make this world a better place to live? Hang the world. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. He says, be not conformed to the world. That's what he says. 1 John 2, he says, love not the things of the world. And the thing is, a lot of times it's in our mind. The devil's going to work on your head, work on your thinking, renewing your mind. Now you see your conscience, your subconscious had become alert. Now you're seeing that thing. Now when you look at that picture, that's all you see, isn't it? That's all you see is that word. You see, and so your subconscious had become conscious. Now you can attack it. Cover yourself with the shed blood of Christ. Cleanse your mind with the shed blood of Christ. Okay, now the devil has been exposed here. Now what's his next step? He's going to be your antagonizer. So what does he do? Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. What he's going to do is, if a family sees this and they are alert to these things, he will now become their out-and-out enemy, which he was from the start. And he's going to try to divide you to conquer you. He'll get husband and wife fighting each other by working on your head. He'll give thoughts in your mind. He'll give thoughts in the mind of the teenager. My dad don't care for me. My mom don't love me. They're just trying to strap me. They just don't want me to have any fun. Where's that thought come from? You see, they think they just, oh, I just thought this. Don't overestimate your thinking capacity. You see, he'll say to a wife about 30 minutes before she gets to see her husband, whether she works at home or works out of the home, a thought will come in her head that he's been flirting with some woman at work. Thought will come into his head that she's been watching TV all afternoon. Or a thought will come to his head, she's flirted with some guy in a job. And if he dwells on that thought, if she dwells on that thought, when they see each other, isn't it going to be a happy reunion? No, they're going to be mad at each other. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations. When you get a thought in your head, it can come from three sources. God, the devil, or you. People say, well, I'm just so close to God, it would never happen to me. That thought right there came from Satan. Can anybody say they're close to Jesus Christ as Simon Peter was? Peter, James, and John? Before the Lord's getting ready to go to Calvary, he said to the disciples, he said, fellas, I'm going to go into town and I'm going to suffer many things of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. And he said, I'm going to be killed. And he said, 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. Simon Peter, right next to him, says, oh, Lord, be it far from thee. That ain't going to happen. How close can you get to Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ looked at his best friend, one of his best friends, Peter, James, and John. He said, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because that thought came from Satan right at that moment. That thought came from him, and at that moment he spoke the thought, thinking it was his original thought. Was Simon Peter doing that to hurt Jesus Christ? No, he was defending. He was going to stand up for Jesus Christ. His motive was right, but the thought was wrong, and it came from Satan. And the thing is, all of us have to realize thoughts come through our head. Right now, radio stations are floating through this air. TV programs are floating through this air. And those thoughts are coming to your mind. And when you get on your knees, try to pray to God, these wicked thoughts will come to your mind. People say, I speak my mind. You better not speak your mind. It'd be X-rated at times. I know how people are. They think they're so holy, they're so, you know, kind, all that stuff. Hey, be honest what goes through your head. In a day and age we're living where all this stuff is floating through the air, the prince of the power of the air is in full swing now. And where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. What we have is the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your conscience. When those thoughts come to mind, when your kids have some horrible thoughts, Disney Company is big into this embedding. What do you think when you got an industry that's got 40% sodomites in it, what they're going to do? Can you imagine the mental thinking of an artist putting perverted stuff in there, what they're thinking? I could pervert somebody else. That is a deranged mind. And then they advertise this in Time, Life, Look magazines, U.S. News World Report, put it on the news, television. It's all right in there. They're manipulating, they're trying to manipulate man's mind to be perverted. And it busts up the home. When a husband and wife needs to realize that when thoughts come to our head, we need to say, where'd that come from? And we need to realize that our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is, we ought to team up against the real enemy. Amen. Team up against Satan and fight him. Fight him through the word of God, through prayer and the blood of Jesus Christ, and cleanse your house with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Walk through that house and cover it with the shed blood of Christ. When you get these thoughts in your head, right on the spot, Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Christ? That purges your mind. If your children have some awful dreams at night, what do you think they're doing in the cartoons? They're trying to work on our kids. Harry Potter? That's an obvious thing. And Christians nowadays don't even think Harry Potter's bad. When it's so obvious. Why? Because for years they have manipulated their little minds, their little pea brain. Now, oh, it helps my children to read. I'd rather my child be illiterate than to read Harry Potter. But the thing is we need to realize our enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil, you ought not be ignorant of his devices. And his device is going this way. He's going to try to blind your mind through deception by counterfeiting things of God. And if that don't work, then he's going to come right to be an antagonist to you. And he's going to try to accuse you to your wife to you, the parents to the children to parents, you to God, God to you. And he's going to try to divide us to conquer us. And realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand these things. I pray you'd help us to understand how the devil does work. He is a religious being, and he works through that Bible by misquoting it, misapplying it. And Lord, I pray you'd help us all to have our eyes wide open to the Word of God. I pray you'd help us to see that evil, wickedness is trying to make us all like them, to be filthy. Lord, I pray you'd help us to spend time in a holy Bible, yielding to the Holy Ghost, so that we can fellowship with the Holy God and think on things that are pure, just, lovely, good report. Lord, I pray you'd give us strength of mind, renew our minds through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Our heads bowed and eyes are closed, the entrance plays, the altar's open if you need it. David said, I hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Bible memory is so important, to memorize Bible verses. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you think that your way is just as good as anybody's, you are a pawn, you are a blinded, you have been blinded by Satan. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. We need to know our enemy. We need to know how he works. We need to be able to stand against his wiles. His wiles, his trickery, his devilment. He appears good. He uses good men. That's his first methods. He appears good and he uses good men and he tries to get us to be wise. Those are good things. He uses good words to deceive the hearts of the simple. But when we expose him, then we see his real colors. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to your task. I pray that you'd help us to see that in this world we're living in today, close to the second coming of Christ, closer to better, that the more satanic, more Satanism's on the rise, cults are on the rise, Islam is fast and growing. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to be faithful ambassadors to thee in this world. Help us not to be, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Help us to not love the things of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.